Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Mraz. Welcome inside the best of the DA show. Will Dalvin Cook help the Dolphins should he go there? Is Crumble Cookie a national thing? And Decade of DA starts to look back some of the moments of me. It's the best of the DA show now.
We start in football, where the Minnesota Vikings cut bait with one of the more productive running backs in the NFL, Dalvin Cook. After last year, the Vikings winning the division, hosting a home playoff game, instead, this year, they said, Cook ain't worth it because we don't want to pay him the running back fee. Rather save that money for elsewhere on the team, and that means Dalvin Cook is available. Now, Cook, again, wildly productive. What price you can get him for is the question. But who's in on Dalvin Cook now as a free agent? It appears at least one of those teams is the Miami Dolphins. And Dalvin Cook, originally a Florida guy, went to Florida State. From the state. So, the Dolphins reportedly have given an offer to Dalvin Cook. Out of all of the teams that have shown interest, the Dolphins reportedly have given him a contract offer. Should Miami make sure they lock up Dalvin Cook in a hyper-competitive AFC? It is where we begin! Your cold open.
It was an issue because, like, you never knew the certainty of my shoulder. Like, you never knew if it had come out or not. I kind of had a plan in my head of how to, you know, get through a season. And it's always in the back of your head when you take any carry. Like, when you get the ball, it's always in your head, like, my shoulder could possibly come out. Like, now I could be Dalvin Cook back to Florida State, Dalvin Cook, and just turn it loose. Just be me.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Cook describing his shoulder injury. Tom Pelissero, NFL media, has said the Jets, the Broncos, and the Patriots have all shown interest, and that he does have multiple offers. But the Miami Herald is reporting the Dolphins are one of those teams that are at the forefront of interest, that they have also been one of the squads who have offered Dalvin Cook. Now, note that Cook mentioned the Jets and Dolphins specifically, calling the Dolphins, since he's a Miami native, a, quote, natural fit. I don't think the Dolphins have to get Dalvin Cook to be winners this year. I think the Dolphins are good enough, and they showed that last year through the first 2 months of the season, 3 months of the season. They were right in the playoff hunt. They were in the playoff hunt right to the very end and were the number one seed in the AFC through 10 games. And then obviously made the postseason last year as a wild card team, but had their backup quarterback Skylar Thompson to that wild card loss to the Buffalo Bills. I don't think they have to have Dalvin Cook. It's a good running back depth chart, maybe not a great one. They've got Raheem Mostert, they've got Jeff Wilson. They're good, maybe not great, but they can be fine. The bigger question about the Dolphins is not, do they need Dalvin Cook? It's, can their quarterback stay healthy? Tua Tagovailoa. When Tua was healthy last year, they were one of the best teams of the AFC. When he wasn't, the end of the season, they kind of came apart. And that was probably the difference in them winning that game in Buffalo versus losing that game. They were pretty close. It wasn't much of a contest early, but they closed the gap late, and it was a one-score game on the final possession. But I do think that Dalvin Cook is if you can get him on a contract which has little risk to you. You don't want to give him guaranteed money for multiple years. If he wants to play in Miami because he's from there, and you have touches to give him, then absolutely you go out and do it, as long as you don't have to pay him cash beyond this year, because that's the big question. You don't want to be locked into his shoulder. You don't want to be locked into an aging running back. You don't want to be locked into a guy that has a lot of touches over the course of the first part of his career. But the Dolphins would be silly not to reach out and be interested, not give him a contract offer, because if you add Dalvin Cook to an already dynamic offense with Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and the rest of those guys, you could be really a next-level type of offense. And in the AFC, what is it going to take to truly be a great team? Note the three teams in the division that have shown interest and or offers to Dalvin Cook. Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, chasing the Bills in the AFC East. So if you're the Dolphins, you've got to get out of your division, which include the Bills. You've got to look at the AFC West with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. In the AFC North, the Ravens should be back, considering Lamar Jackson is back, and the Bengals are clearly contenders. In the AFC South, the Jaguars took a big step forward last year. It's a brutal AFC. So, yeah, if you're the Dolphins and you can lock in Dalvin Cook, you definitely do it, knowing it's a benefit to your offense and try to get your way out of the division to make a run. But I don't think it's mandatory. I think if they swing and miss with Dalvin Cook, it's okay. Miami should still be very, very good this upcoming season, assuming their quarterback can be healthy. And that's a big assumption, let's face it. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. It has become rote. It has become cliche to just say, wow, can you believe Shohei Ohtani? Have we ever seen anything like this? Haven't seen anything like this since Babe Ruth. But we really should pause routinely and note what the hell is going on, because it still defies belief. Last night, Shohei Ohtani hit 2 home runs. He also struck out 10 batters. He was the starting pitcher last night for the Angels, and he hit 2 home runs and struck out 10 as the Angels get the win last night 4-2 over the White Sox at home. Shohei, as a starting pitcher this year, is 7-3 with a 3.01 ERA. Last night, he went 6 1/3, gave up only 1 earned run, struck out 10, and walked 2. I'll say that again. Shohei went 6 1/3 last night, scattered 4 hits, gave up 1 run, struck out 10, walked 2. So a 10-2 strikeout to walk ratio. It gives him his 7th win of the year. He's 7-3. With a 3.02 ERA. So about midway through the season, he's on pace for about 15 wins and a 3 ERA as a starting pitcher. He hit 2 home runs last night. They win 4-2. So the Angels scoring comes from Shohei's solo home run of the first, a Fletcher fielder's choice RBI, a Moustakas RBI single, and another Shohei solo home run. So 2 of the 4 runs come on Shohei bombs. Shohei has now hit 13 home runs this month. Shohei, again, has 13 home runs this month. And we're now, again, about halfway through the season. So go ahead and double some of these numbers if you just want to extrapolate it. Shohei has 28 or 29 homers. He has 28 home runs. So Shohei is now on pace for 56 home runs and 15 wins and a 3 ERA is a starting pitcher. What is going on? And he's had amazing seasons, obviously, to this point in time. And we debated this at the end of last year. Should he just be the MVP every single season? Because even if Aaron Judge does what Aaron Judge did last year, if Shohei is 80% of the best hitter in the game and 80% of the best pitcher in the game, how is it possible anybody could be more valuable? This dude is on pace for more than 50 home runs. In an era where, I know Aaron Judge did it last year, but it's not the steroid-induced, crazy, inflated home run numbers anymore. He's on pace for 50 home runs and is their ace. Their starting pitcher ace. I don't know. I would imagine if Bogus at the plate was still a thing, that every podcast, every week, was it a weekly podcast?
I believe so, yeah.
Or bi-weekly.
No, it was definitely weekly. One time it might have been twice a week, but okay. It was definitely weekly.
Primarily a weekly baseball podcast.
Yes.
If we were still doing Bogus at the plate, if you didn't lead with Shohei every week, you'd have to include Shohei every week.
There'd be a cleverly named Ohtani segment at least every single time.
It's time for Bogus at the Plate.
Because I love the guy. I mean, you're preaching to the choir here, and I'm never going to let anybody like slouch on understanding what's happening here.
How do we understand it?
You can't. I mean, I think that's the message. Like, it's not supposed to be like this. And I know we had a very heated MVP conversation last year between the three of us comparing Aaron Judge and Ohtani, and Judge's injury has taken him off the table. But again, like, he hits like Judge, and then he pitches like an ace, and Judge stands in the outfield. And plays a good outfield, that's fine, but, like, there's no way to compute that. And he plays every day. He's not taking multiple days off a week to rest for pitching. He pitches, maybe the next day he's off, but he goes back to DH and he just hits and he's crushing the ball. And it's just every single day there's some kind of new anomaly, combination of this, passing that guy. No one's done this since 19, whatever. It's just, it defies explanation.
And last year, the combination of Shohei and Judge for the MVP race was a fun debate because Judge was having a historically great year.
Right.
Arguably the greatest offensive year of all time because he hit more than 60 home runs and also his batting average and RBIs right. were huge. Let's just take that off the table just because that was also kind of an anomaly type of season. Shohei every year is putting up bonkers offensive numbers.
Yeah.
If he has more than 50 home runs this year and more than 100 RBIs, which seems pretty likely, and also wins 15 games.
Right.
And goes deep into games. I just don't know how you can even begin to compare him to anybody else that has played since Babe Ruth, but Babe Ruth really wasn't great at both at the same time.
No, I mean, it very quickly became just Babe Ruth the hitter. There have been, and some of these things have popped up at times, there were more comparable players in the Negro Leagues that both pitched and hit and did well. But it's just, even that is 80, 90, 100 years ago. No one alive has seen this. No one alive has seen this.
He's going to have 56 home runs.
Yeah, he leads the majors with 28 right now.
He had 13 this month.
Mm-hmm.
And he's their ace.
Yeah.
How could that be?
And they're finally sip of that. And they're finally good-ish.
They're finally good-ish.
So we might see him in the playoffs. We might see them manage him in the playoffs. We might see him do this kind of nonsense in the playoffs, which would be amazing.
That's why if the Angels ever wanted to trade him or were willing to trade him, I really don't know what the trade package would be because you'd have to basically give up twice the amount of prospects and resources and assets that you would get for one half of who he is.
Right. I mean, the Juan Soto trade's a starting point, and the Nats got Mackenzie Gore, who's their second best starter right now, CJ Abrams, who's their starting shortstop and a good young player. And I think the two best players are still minor leaguers. And it was three other players involved. Like, you have to start there and then add on to that.
Because Juan Soto isn't an ace.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, boy. And Shohei.
Did you see last night? His second home run last night came, I think, with two outs. And he was still pitching. So as he's coming back to the dugout, he's giving hand gestures to say, I can't do our home run thing. They have this like samurai helmet.
Yeah.
So they gave it to his interpreter, and he just held it and walked down the line to celebrate and said, well, Ohtani ran off the field, I guess, to reset into pitching mode.
It's unreal. Shohei, last night, two home runs and gets the win in a 4-2 victory by throwing 6 1/3.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And welcome back. You can always listen to the DA show on hundreds of affiliates nationwide across the CBS Sports Radio Network and also on Sirius XM, channel 158. Soundcheck begins with Angels manager Phil Nevin after we were just talking about this. Shohei hits two home runs and throws for 6 1/3, gets the win, strikes out 10, walks only 2, gives up only 1 earned run in a 4-2 Angels victory over Seattle last night.
I think we come in here a lot, and to talk about it, it's a wow factor. I think what's cool is watching, new guys come in like Moose and Esky here today. Like, they see this and like they're in amazement, right? And we all are. It's just for the first time to see it, and the performance today was incredible.
It's amazing because for essentially the better part of a century, 100 years, every baseball player ever has been told, you got to pick one of the two because you can't be good at both. It's not possible to be good enough for the bigs in both. So if you're a hitter and you also pitch for your little league team, for your high school team, for your travel team, they're like, yeah, you're going to have to only hit because you just can't do both and get to the bigs. And if you're a good hitting pitcher, like a Greinke, like a Madison Bumgarner, like somebody else, they're like, you should definitely not practice hitting because you're not going to be good enough to hit in the big. So just make sure you just worry about pitching. And now 100 years of conventional wisdom in baseball has been thrown out the window because one guy is awesome at both. Doesn't seem to be hurting either part of his game. Here's Zach Bryan, country music star. That's right. Who over the weekend was holding a show in Philly.
No, here. It was in Queens.
In a borough outside of
yes.
where we work.
Correct.
Oh, this
outside
was...
Outside of Flew Pork.
This was at the home of the National League baseball team?
No, incorrect. Well, as well, it was at the original home of the U.S. Open tennis in Forest Hills.
I see. Okay, so a little concert venue over there. Zach Bryan, country music singer, who's actually in the state where this football team resides, kind of. They're named after it. Daniel Jones in attendance. He plays for that football team. And Zach Bryan doesn't care what state he's in or what quarterback's in front of him. So So that's kind of hard to hear, but Mraz, you can interpret for me the country music portion of this. That was a song that Zach Bryan sings?
Yeah, I think it was called The Revival. He's going back and forth, so he's up there with Daniel Jones, arm in arm.
Daniel Jones is on stage.
On stage. Daniel Jones might be a little inebriated. This was something that went viral over the weekend. He got paid, and now he's very relaxed.
Is that so?
So he's swaying back and forth, and this guy ruins the good moment by turning to him, but maybe supporting the good moment for the show and yells, "Go Birds."
Zach Bryan does.
Yes, he does.
Is he from Philly?
Don't know where he's from.
But he's an Eagles fan.
He's an Eagles fan.
Rare to have many country music stars come out of Philadelphia.
True. Right. So I don't. Maybe a McNabb fan early. I don't know. But he yelled, "Go Birds," which maybe he felt more invigorated to do so since, you know, we're a show doing a show from New York that's anti-New York.
That's right. So if you didn't catch this, when we learned of Mraz's relocation, basically the league is relocating Mraz to a different radio station, different show.
Get the A's.
What's that?
Me and the A's.
Get the Mayflower trucks.
That's right. Under cover of night, they've brought the Mayflower trucks over to the DA show's offices. They've thrown Mraz's chili costume in there. Some of his
food.
His stained jerseys.
Hey, Bogus, you're going to sit there doing nothing. At least you could do is laugh on Mike.
And they're moving him down the hallway. So I said, you know what? Enough is enough. I know there's plenty of affiliates out there that are like, too much New York, too much stuff from New York, too much, too much. So I'm saying embargo right now. We're not doing any NY stuff around here. I don't care if Pete Schwartz has his Islanders polo on. We're not talking about him. We're not identifying them. We're anti-New York around here. Never to be heard from again. We're not doing that green team stuff. We're not doing that big blue stuff either. We're not talking about Buck Showalter's sucky team. We're not talking about injured Aaron Judge. We're not doing John Sterling getting hit by baseballs in the jaw.
Wow.
Well, we might still do that. But we're not doing it.
Bob's Bar's in New York, by the way.
We'll get there when we get there. We'll get there when we get there.
There's an expiration date on.
Oh.
But for now, there's an embargo. And I stand with Zach Bryan, who is from Oklahoma.
Oh, Jalen Hurts. Who's a new Eagles fan?
It's a little...
Maybe like the Sam Bradford Eagles, too.
It's a little vague on the Wikipedia page here. I don't know how he became an Eagles fan. But anyway, that's it!
Oklahoma.
We're pro-Oklahoma. We're anti-Big Apple. We're pro-Go Birds. We're anti-Go Big Blue. We're not doing that around here.
I'll remind everybody, download and subscribe to New York Accent everywhere you could get podcasts.
This week, we're not doing New York on New York Accent. It's Joe Theismann. Embargo lives. The embargo lives. We're doing Villains of New York all summer on New York Accent.
Next week, John Rocker.
We're just... Wow.
I mean, that's not a bad idea. You could book yourself a Chipper Jones in a hurry and have a pretty good New York accent.
That's right. That's right. We're all anti-everything New York around here. So, Pete, sorry. You'll have to take that polo off.
You don't want to see what's underneath
after
it.
After 10 a.m.
That's actually a good point.
Eastern.
That's a very good point.
We've also already had one anchor take his shirt off during this week. That's enough.
Did Boyle do that?
He did.
Really?
Still hurting about being questioned his muscle mass at Bob's Bar.
Monday, he yelled into the cameras, cap running the cameras, ripped off his shirt and said, "Meaty boob, meaty moves," and started slapping him to show there was no give.
There was some give.
The Shamrock tattoo was blaring.
Wow. So as I was burping AJ, here we had Boyle slapping his moves, going meaty moves.
Yeah. He was like Denzel at the end of Training Day. You got nothing on me.
It's how he signed off on Monday.
That was the ending of the show.
It was.
Wow.
The mothership had disconnected itself on Monday. Like, I'm out, guys. I'll pick you up tomorrow.
Wow. So starting, what, July 24th, we have to have a segment called Meaty Moves around
Meaty
here.
Meaty Moves.
Where Pat Boyle.
Meaty Move Monday.
Sports.
And what would Meaty Move Monday perhaps be?
Well, that's for the interview process. I don't know. That's, I mean, true. I guess it'll coincide with Low Libido Wednesday as well.
Interesting. So we'll have potential producers come and we interview them and say, so what would be your concept for Meaty Move Monday? What type of guest would you book? What's your vision for Meaty Move Monday?
Only heavy set guests.
Well, I mean, it comes from a place where we were, I wouldn't say disappointed, but Boyle did not meet our expectations. So maybe that, it's kind of like a letdown segment.
Okay.
Like things that did not pan out.
Okay.
Like we were expecting Boyle to wow us when his shirt came off.
Right.
At Boss Bar, and it was impressive, but not as impressive as some were expecting.
So Meaty Move Monday is things that were hyped up, but ultimately fizzled.
Yeah, like, oh, the Padres are 36 and 39 on Meaty Move Monday.
It's a Meaty Move Monday.
I love that segment.
Scherzer and Verlander, two aces.
It's a Meaty Move Monday.
You could do the Cowboys every Monday in December.
The Chicago White Sox have upgraded at manager. Wah, wah, Meaty Move Monday.
Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies have lost three straight.
Meaty Move Monday. Get your meaty moves here.
Beep, beep. Back up the nipples.
I got your fresh meaty moves here.
Send the meaty moves guy.
Caserta's Canadian bacon last week. Meaty Move Monday. Honk, honk.
Get your meaty moves here. Finally, here's the Sixers. Tobias Harris, who knows that everybody wants him out of town.
Trade speculation. You know, casual Sixers fans, they'll trade me for a crumble cookie. But at the end of the day, you know, they have to realize, like, you're not getting a 6'9 forward back who can, you know, damn near shoot 40% from three, guard other teams' best player, shoot post-up drive, play 70-plus games a year.
Oh, shut up.
Talk about feeling yourself. My gosh.
I mean, really. Tobias Harris going down his own Wikipedia page. And that is your sound check. He says they would trade me for a crumble cookie. And that sounds like just a generic term, like, oh, they would trade me for a chocolate chip cookie. They would trade me for a crumble cookie, whatever. No, it's a type of cookie. I only know this because I saw how it was spelled everywhere. C-R-U-M-B-L.
Mm-hmm.
No E. So I looked this up. What's special about crumble cookies? Crumble stands out for its variety and the way its cookies are served, hot and cold, based on which way it would taste best. I'm unaware of this. Sounds like you are very aware of this, Bogues.
Well, we have mentioned them more than once on the show because the gentleman to your left once posted a picture online to get into a crumble cookie.
Well,
and
I was not online. My wife and my son were online. So I drove by another time and saw the long line.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he tagged them to try to cut the line on Twitter.
Oh, that was the place
point,
that you
did
that.
That was the hope that. At
some point. I see. That, now I remember
the story.
If you go
different times during the day, the lines are a little shorter.
But so this is a national chain?
I mean, it's certainly a chain. I don't know how national it is.
I think they were on Shark Tank.
Yeah, it's newish to the New York area.
Yeah.
2021 was the year of the big cookie, so a lot of these places have boomed. And honestly, unlike frozen yogurt, they've stayed afloat, and they're still very popular.
Mm.
You get them shipped. You can go to these stores. People love a monstrous cookie.
Yeah. Frozen yogurt's taking a dive?
Mm. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed. I mean, have you seen a new red mango open in recent years? I haven't.
16 handles?
Yeah. Blows by me. He's right. My 16 handles went underneath.
Oh, that's a shame. Right. I really like that business model where you go in, you choose your flavor, can mix your flavor, then add all the candy on top.
I knew that these places were doomed the moment they started selling cigarettes and scratch-offs. I knew that
you gotta move.
Are they doing that?
They were, and they all closed down. Frozen yogurt place, I think people were really taking advantage. There's only so much good stuff. Then I think the pandemic really killed them because nobody wanted to hover over the candy stuff anymore.
That did kill frozen yogurt because people didn't want to share the same topping stuff and the same...
So we've lost to 16 handles by me, but there's a TCBY that still has a line at the door sometimes.
I'm not
that's
saying,
like the original version.
I'm not saying that they don't exist entirely, but if you remember, there was like multiple chains on this, and they were popping up everywhere. I mean, it's like a tumbleweed if you find a frozen yogurt stand anymore.
Well, crumble cookies is apparently just a Northeast thing. So
okay.
Now this is only going to re-enhance my embargo on all things local here. But crumble cookies apparently are a big deal. And how do you serve them, hot and cold?
I've never had one. I just know of how popular they are.
Pete?
I was brought home a hot one. I have not had a cold one.
It's just like eating a Pop-Tart. You could choose to have it warm or you could just have it cold, but it tastes delicious.
Any cookie?
There might be a different variety of ones that they serve that are hot and some that are served that are cold.
Yeah. But well, like Sean's right. Nothing benefited more from the stay-at-home COVID than these huge cookies. Mm. Like all of these businesses exploit people just having them shipped to their house. They make it at home and they mail them to you at your home.
And right. Comforting, we want to be fatter as society.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bigger. They're like
I know, I do.
On the way to being like a pie. So you heat them up, and you almost need a knife and a fork to eat them.
I think Domino's started to go down this road, right? Didn't they do a cookie pie?
They did. They did do the cookie pie. The Domino's started to fall there, but it's still very thin compared to some of the bigger, thicker ones that you get.
That's just an example of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why was Domino's serving cookies?
Well, boy, they've really expanded into weird things. I mean, Domino's starting to do everything, right? Well,
they just specialize in pizza first, then expand.
They're doing pizza. They're doing breadsticks, they're doing cookies. They're doing wings.
They've been doing wings forever.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, they do a lot more than pizza.
No, and are they the one with the Papaditas?
Probably.
Oh, that's Papa John's.
Oh, good point.
And I think Papa John's is better than Domino's.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, at least it's got the Schwartz stamp of approval.
The crumble cookie. Okay. So I don't know much about this, but Tobias Harris said, they would trade me for a crumble cookie.
You know what? I may bring in some next week.
Oh, that'd be nice. No one's going to be here.
No one's going to be here.
The 4th.
Okay. I'll be here Wednesday and Friday.
I'm off all week. I had to call
bring me Friday. I'm here.
Yeah. I had to call off my paternity week this week because this guy's leaving.
Yeah.
So we had to try to synchronize more days together. I don't know if that was a good idea or a bad idea.
Yeah, leaving to the state north of Pennsylvania.
We'll see. By the way, quick, Rod in Alabama will let us know. They have crumble cookie in Alabama.
Oh, okay,
so
good.
It's free. It's free from the embargo.
All right, the embargo is up. It's lifted. The embargo's lifted. Peter Schwartz is in for headlines. No, what was it? Man Move Mondays? No,
Meaty Move Mondays.
No Meaty Move Mondays here. On to more flowery things. Yesterday we learned something that I'm really still stunned to a news over. We were doing a story about potty training? Yes, about potty training. Because, well, of course. And
It was analytics about oopsies.
It was analytics about oopsies.
Because Sean's the poop guy. Why am I the poop guy?
Right.
Do I have to be the poop guy at my new gig?
At the new gig, we were wondering, does he take the briefcase of poop guy stuff over there?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Gallagher with the mallet. Does he take all of those toys, all of those antics over there.
Carrot top with the box.
Yeah. And we think that, you know, you should, because that's winning stuff. People love it. It's what has elevated you. But we wonder if they're ready.
America loves it.
If they're ready for that briefcase worth of hijinks. So what we learned at Advanced Analytics was, at one point in time, Mraz's youngest sister, Sarah, was potty training, and Mraz's mom, Nancy, was out for the night. She was working, so Bob was in charge of the kids, and Bob told Sarah, look, you need to learn how to go on your own. You don't get up off this toilet until you go. And ultimately, Nancy came home 2 hours later, and Sarah was asleep on the potty, head leaning on the hamper, fast asleep. And what had happened was that Bob got distracted by the 1994 Grammys.
It was a great What a Man performance.
Right. Not a Rangers game, not a Giants breakdown. The 94 Grammys.
The 94 Grammys got Bob in a wormhole, and Nancy came back and said, where's our third child? And he said, I forgot about her. Check the bathroom. And Nancy went in there, and the third child was asleep on the toilet because she had not gone yet.
It was actually March 1st, 1995. It was the 94 year of music.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. So we were kind of awed at this. And so Bogush and I, and this happened at the very end of the show, and Bogush and I were just like stunned to a news. And so we said, was that a really special Grammys? And so Bogues has actually done some research on this.
Well, but now I might need to do more research because you just changed the number on me. You said the 94 Grammys yesterday. So it was in 95,
It was March 1st, 95. I had some clarifications, but it was the 94 year of music, yes.
All right. So so the original, the March 1st of 94 show was a doozy because it had River of Dreams by Billy Joel. Amazing. That's a local fan
favorite.
That's
his last album, I think, right? Yeah, River of Dreams was his last album.
Living on the Edge by Aerosmith.
Great album.
Breathe Again by Tony Braxton and Kenny G.
Wow.
Breathe Again.
Yeah.
Breathe Again.
Yeah, really good mid-90s soft rock.
And
soft
then
jazz.
The big one was Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, which is from the Bodyguard.
And that is an iconic song.
I will always love you.
Unfortunately, at 7, that was probably the Grammys I was getting potty trained for. I don't know.
Do you remember the scene in The Bodyguard where he like throws like the scarf over in the air and it drops and cuts over his like Navy knife or whatever?
No.
Yeah, I don't know why I recall that from the early 90s.
Let's see. So Bodyguard was 93, you said?
I guess, yeah.
That sounds about right. That was my 8th grade or 9th grade, and that was the last song for every dance. So every high school dance, 8th grade or 9th grade, the last song is The Bodyguard, I Will Always Love You. So it has a very powerful effect on me.
So if we're now, though, fast-forwarding to March 1 of 95.
Yeah, what's that Grammys look
the
like?
The 37th annual Grammy Awards. The big winner that night, 4 wins for Bruce Springsteen based off of Streets of Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a doozy.
That's a big album as well, Streets of Philadelphia.
Sean's already mentioned What a Man by Salt and Pepper.
What, did that win?
That was one of the performances.
Oh, okay.
Sheryl Crow did All I Want to Do on that show.
That launched her career.
Yeah, Sheryl Crow won Best New Artist that Grammy.
So, all I want to do is have some fun. I got a feeling I'm not the only one. All I want to do is have some fun.
What's interesting is I
till the sun comes up over Santa Monica Boulevard.
Bam, bam.
I was putting together the playlist for our wedding, not the one you guys went to, the one on the boat.
The one that stuck. The one that mattered.
The one that mattered. And I said, okay, yeah, I'm going to put this together. And my wife goes, okay, well, who's on it? And I said, well, I think we should put some Sheryl Crow on it. And she goes, no.
What?
Wow. I said, what do you mean? She goes, I don't like Sheryl Crow. And for some reason, her and her mom have an anti-Sheryl Crow thing. I don't know what that is.
What does Sheryl Crow do today?
The Lance Armstrong thing, maybe? I don't know. I've never gotten to the bottom of this. But I said, I like Sheryl Crow, but I wasn't allowed to put it on the playlist.
Wow. Apparently, all your wife wants to do is not have some fun.
There was also Boyz II Men doing I'll Make Love to You, which is a good song, at the 95 Grammys.
And that, I think, was their last big hit. They began with Motown Philly 3 years earlier. And I think by the time we get to I Will Always Make Love to You.
I'll
Make Love to You.
If you want me to.
Make love to you?
I think I'm combining the Whitney Houston song and that. But that was about it for those guys.
I mean, it for new albums. I mean, they continue to appear everywhere.
Yeah.
Since yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So.
So I can see why Bob got distracted. Well, Bob forgot about a kid.
Can I just say the best new artist category that year? Sheryl Crow wins Green Day, Counting Crows, Ace of Base, and Crash Test Dummies.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Those were the 5 candidates for best new artist that year. And you can understand how Bob leaves a kid asleep.
You don't have that strong candidates now. You don't have anything close to that.
Right, so Pete, I hate doing this because I realized that in 1994, my dad could have said the same thing. Oh, there's no new candidates like it was in 1974, like when I was. But if I watch the Grammys now, it doesn't feel like you have the heft of potential. Now, we don't know that in 1994, those artists will become what they become.
Right.
But I don't feel like the music industry has the same heft. There aren't big winners like, of course, Taylor Swift, Bieber. There's huge Bruno Mars. There are huge artists that will be iconic and are iconic. But it doesn't feel like we're creating the same.
Right. A Deadmau5, a Billie Eilish. They don't have the same water.
Billie Eilish.
The best new artist nominees from this past Grammys.
Yeah.
Were, first of all, there was 10 of them as opposed to 5, right. And I don't know 8 of them. Right. Samara Joy, 1, don't know him, her, them. Mm-hmm. Anita, who I think I have heard of. Omar Apollo, Domi and J.D. Beck, Lotto, is it Maneskin? I've heard of them. I don't know how to pronounce their name.
Play Lotto.
They're Mannequin. Like, that's the movie from 1987.
That's right. Incorrect, which you'll probably watch soon. At 2 in the morning.
I'm going to rank that one.
Muni Long, Toby Wigway, Molly Tuttle, I've heard of, and Wet Leg, which is Sean has.
Okay. All right. Go back 5 years.
So there is extenuating circumstances because now with streaming, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, the way that you create a successful new artist is not the way you used to. It's not radio play. That's how Sheryl Crow and Counting Crows gets into that conversation in 1994. In 2023, everything is just splintered, so you're going by downloads of 16-year-olds. At the same time, look what that's done. It's completely deflated the star power of these new artists. Like, who's heard of any of those? Now, this is also, we're a bunch of 30 and 40-something white guys.
Correct.
We could benefit from somebody that's under the age of 35 here.
Yeah.
Which is why a Pat Boyle actually is of value here. Maybe he's heard of Manasquan or whatever.
Well, luckily, there'll be an opening for some younger blood here.
Well, I try to listen. Not that I have it on my playlist. I try to listen to the new stuff just for music ideas.
You do? Okay.
You know, but...
Research.
Research. I've never heard of any of those people. That's why I told Bogus, go back 5 years. Let's see what happened 5 years ago.
Yeah. So even 2 years ago, you had Megan Thee Stallion, Phoebe Bridgers, and Doja Cat, who are all big deals right now.
Mm-hmm. But
that
so
was
maybe
2 years
in 2 years,
ago.
Years, some of these...
The point remains. If you're a father, and me and Peter, young father, D.A., a young father now.
That's right.
You letting your kid fall asleep with their head on a hamper, demanding they go potty to watch these Grammys anymore? But you would do that for Sheryl Crow, and what a man.
Well, also depends.
Times have changed.
It also depends upon how far in the potty stage you're on.
Clearly, it was a frustrating stage right. for my sister.
Right. It yeah. is rare, though, that there are television events that would make you have to leave the kid on the potty. Now, we have DVR now.
Right.
We have on demand now. You can watch the clips on YouTube. You can watch them on Twitter, what have you. At the same time, there's just not television events that you're like, I can't miss this. This is why the Super Bowl is still the Super Bowl.
Yeah, in 94, 95, if you're not watching that act live, you ain't seeing that act again.
No, you might see it the next day on the Today Show, a little clip of it, but you're not seeing it in full.
Right.
Unless somebody taped it for you.
So if Sarah wasn't going to go poopy-poopy, then sorry. You're falling asleep in there.
I didn't get to see Shoop.
Now, again.
Yeah. I mean, I still think there's an argument for you should not forget your kid for anything on TV. But I see your point.
You can't kill Bob here.
And we do have to clarify, he didn't want her to fall asleep there. He just forgot she existed.
Right. Exactly.
He got mad at her and said, I'm not coming back here until you go. We sat down again. The Fritos were open. It was 2 hours later. My mom came home and she asked where she was. And he realized, and we all realized, we had forgotten she existed.
Now, there's been a couple of these incidents in your home where you were worried about showering communally at college.
Correct.
Your youngest sister had trouble with the potty.
Yeah.
Was there just traditional bathroom hesitation in the house, which maybe you're making up for these days?
It's a good point. I mean, perhaps there was some bathroom issues our whole lives. There was also the fish tank incident in 92 in which I went face first into the fish tank. And to save the fish while I was in the hospital getting stitched up, we threw the fish in the toilet bowl. But my Aunt Donna had to go to the bathroom bad after some bad pizza and the fish went down the tubes. That was January of 92.
I think you remember the incident in 92.
During the Bills run.
What a horrible way to go.
Bad pizza.
Yeah, who's ever had bad pizza?
It was my sister's second birthday party. I went through a fish tank. I had to get stitched up. I was a snot-nosed kid, and the only way to preserve the fish was nobody could use the bathroom in the house. My Aunt Donna, there was no holding back. I mean, to this day, my father and Aunt Donna don't talk. Maybe this is partially the beginning. She killed the fish.
So, the prized goldfish in the house.
Two of them.
Saved by putting them in the toilet. Everyone is told at the party you cannot go to the upstairs bathroom. There are fish in there. Aunt Donna has a bad slice of pizza, runs and says, I don't care about the goldfish. It's going to be thunderstorm for them.
That was it, man.
And that was it. And she just didn't care and flush, and away we go.
Now, in fairness, this is pre-move to West Babylon. This is the Massapequa Moorages with only one bathroom in the house. Now, it does dawn on me, why did anybody not think to grab a flower vase, fill it up with some water, and put the fish in there? The toilet felt like the lazy answer, and thus washed away. Maybe they're alive, thriving somewhere. The pipes connect.
Yeah, with party gifts, too.
And yeah, it's in the Mediterranean somewhere, because that's how everything connects.
There's those huge carp there in front of like Mount Fuji's and sushi places, right. So it's possible those two goldfish grew up to that.
Yeah.
Do we at least know if Aunt Donna flushed beforehand to give them a more...
Good point. Honorable exit.
I believe this question's come up, and I believe the answer is there was no time for flushing first. So they saw their impending doom.
That is really terrible. That is really terrible.
Which brings us back to yesterday's question. Is this a story for your new job or not?
What a way to go.
Do you have to flush this story?
Do you have to shoehorn this in between a Yankees at the trade deadline show?
Okay. Next season reminds me of Aunt Donna and my goldfish.
Guys. I think what the Yankees need of the deadlines is another arm. And have I told you about the summer of 92? The incident in question, and there's Tiki, his jaw agape. What are we doing here? Aunt Donna, this kills down the hall.
Hello. Is this on?
You should have heard Pete when I said the storms are brewing.
This was huge in Alabama.
And they saw their impending doom. And Pete had to turn off his microphone. This kills down the hallway. Crickets down there.
And back to Buck Showalter at 877-337.
Why are we taking a break?
No. Keep stretching. No, I got more stuff.
Did I tell you about the Grammys?
The Grammys. 94 Grammys.
I got a whole list here.
Cheryl Crow. Salt water. Fresh water. Lakes. Come on, I'm dying up here.
Let me eat something.
I'll eat whatever you got. What do you got?
Bones? No bones?
I'm going to put two chicken nuggets in a headband. Watch this.
Quick, somebody make me laugh. There's something down here. I'll cough it up.
Is it friction up and then down? What do I do?
How's this go? I forgot. Is the friction down? The laugh goes up.
24 or 48 in the crepe case.
Check my underwear quickly.
Give me a math problem. I don't know the answer. Come on.
It's me, the spell ruler. Come on.
Have I told you I never took the SATs? I tell you, this kills.
Tiki begging for a guy thing or not a guy thing in return. He thought that was embarrassing.
He'll be begging for Greg Camella.
You're begging for Coughlin.
Can Jim Finn run through you? He starts sending Rondé in just to take some heat.
Are you wearing a gold jacket?
Yeah. I need a day, Rondé. Can you go in for me? Yeah, sure.
Rondé just dresses up like Tiki. We don't know which one is which.
Are you Siamese twins? That kills.
Down the hall, come on.
Do we want to explore Siamese twins?
Every day at 2:30, Mraz comes into our studio. It's tough down there. They don't get the poop stuff. They're not getting it. It's not working.
Do we have to maybe not replace him for like 6 months in case they send him back to us?
No, we have to. 4 months of cross with a KS can be what's going on. It's gonna drive me insane.
I finally saw his blow up over Tutties on Instagram last night. Boy, that was a trigger for Carlos. It was like, wow, he went from 0 to 60.
Yeah, and took a shot for a guy like that who wears really weird sweaters to get that angry about Tutties.
It's good content. It's really good radio. But you're like, wow, that set you off. The Tutty set you off.
I think there's a thing there brewing, though,
between Carlos and Pat. Because because people, because Carlos and people, I think Vegas has Pat as the favorite right now.
You're seeing people want to take shots now. Pat's the king of the oinks. People assume he's a favorite in some way, shape, or form.
Well, Vegas has him at plus 125.
Ooh, it is. People are going to jello wrestle to the death for this spot here. Just don't call me and ask me how much it pays.
On January 2nd, 2013, a new sports radio network launched. CBS Sports Radio. In the 10 years since, we've undermined the sterling reputation of CBS Sports on a daily basis. Here's another moment from the decade of DA.
This was one of our first viral moments here on CBS Sports Radio. This was at the September, late September mark after the baseball season of year number two of us on the air. This was still when we were on overnights. We began, we launched in 2013 as we were the overnight show, sandwiched between Pharrell on the bench, which was before us, and Tiki, Tierney, and Dana in the mornings. Then Dana left, and it was just Tiki and Tierney before us in the mornings. And we were doing overnights. And on the overnight show, Mraz, being a big fan of the team that plays in the Bronx, watched his hero retire, that emotional send-off for one Derek Jeter. And as he got more and more emotional, myself and Kenny Brock on the Wheels of Steel kept poking and twisting to get the waterworks going. And it really flooded that night here inside the CBS Sports Radio studios. This is from September 27th, 2014.
Tuesday night, Mraz ended up going to the stadium, Yankee Stadium, to cover the New York Yankee game and see Jeter in the final home game that Mraz will see in person.
And I saw Rivera go. I'm seeing Callahan go, and I'm going to see Jeter go, too.
And he finally had his final at-bat. Did it hit you?
Oh, it hit me because he came up in the seventh inning, and I did the math. And I said, he may not get another at-bat here. This is it for my life. It hit me, and I got a little upset. He got on base. He got a base hit. The crowd roared. I was pumped up. And as fate would have it, he was able to come back to give us one last at-bat with the game on the line in the ninth inning, and he struck out to end the game. And when that happened, it was it, man. It was like stepping on an ant dying on your shoe. It was over. We laugh about it, and I thought about it all week, and now it's the week we still see in the weeks here, and it's sad. It really is. It's just then Thursday night's going to be even rougher. It's just you're never going to watch him play a game again. You're never going to go to the stadium. You're never going to chant his name. It's sitting on the couch with my dad as a kid. Stop, Kenny. Those are your first memories of staying up late, is watching, you know, Jeter get the big hits and Mr. November and, you know, winning the World Series. And it just, they're never going to have that again. That, you know, three champ, you know.
You're breaking up in there.
When you just reminisce and you think about all the glory years, it's just, it's over. It's all over. That's it. Jeter gone. When I sat in the car and I had the Yankees postgame on and I kind of reflected and thought about every at-bat, I really flashed back and thought about the last 15 years of my life, and something that's there is not going to be there anymore. And I have two pieces of my head going. One wants to laugh at my idiot self, and the other just can't help it. It's a legend. You don't see legends come around in your lifetime often, and we have one here in New York, and he's not coming back.
He's not dead.
No, he'll be there, but his career's dead.
Mraz, any final words?
We love you, Derek. Go get him the last week.
I can't take this anymore. I've held it in for as long as I could. The tears on this guy's face are so big.
It's streaming. He's weeping. He's openly weeping. Describe this scene that's next to you.
Mraz has both hands now in his face. He's hunched over. The Buddha belly is hidden. The tears are just free flowing down. The snot bubbles are coming out of his nose. It's quite a scene, DA. I can't even. I can't grasp what's happening right now.
Just saw his face.
He just turned to me and his beard.
His face is all red, and it's covered up by his big ham hock hands, and he's absolutely pouring, and we knew this was going to happen. Oh, man. It was perfect to have Kenny Brock in here. The heartless, soulless, cutthroat Philly fan mocking Mraz from 3 feet away. And it was all a setup. We knew that Mraz had gone to the stadium to go see Jeter in his final chance to see Jeter in person. That was not the final game of the season. But we knew it, and we knew that Mraz was kind of getting emotional and nostalgic about it. So I told Brock, I go, hey, have Sinatra ready, okay? He goes, okay, I got it. I go, I'm going to ask Mraz about this game, and let's just keep poking him until he breaks. Brock goes, I got it. So as you heard in that clip, as Mraz gets more emotional, Brock rides the volume up of Sinatra. I did it my way. And Mraz is starting to get more and more emotional, more and more wistful. And at one point, we edited that together to condense it. But there's a lot of dead air because Mraz has put his head in his two hands, rested his elbows on the desk in front of his computer, and just started sobbing into his hands as, I did it my way, started blaring. And Kenny and I were holding back the laughs to get Mraz to keep going. And then finally, we're like, forget it. Let's just start laughing at this guy. And this is before we were on the simulcast. There was no video of this. So we went to commercial break quickly, maybe to a Schwartz update or something. And I ran into the control room to take a photo of Mraz. And this clip went viral. This story went viral because we sent out the audio of him crying. And then there's a picture. I'm like, Mraz, look up. And Mraz has one hand covering one eye and red pink face, eyes filled with tears, looks at me like a dog in a shelter. And I snapped the photo and we attached that to the story and sent that out and put that in the clip. And that got picked up everywhere. Got picked up by local newspapers, local websites, but then Sports Illustrated's website picked it up. Barstool picked it up.
Barstool, awful announcing. CBSSports.com had it.
Producer cries over Derek Jeter's retirement. This was the day before Jeter's final game. This was, as I said, the 27th of September 2014. And the 28th was his final game of the stadium. And that was the one against the Orioles where tie ball game, bottom nine, runners on first and second, and Jeter strokes the opposite field single, game-winning walk-off RBI. That was his final moment as a player, but Mraz went to the game where he struck out his last at-bat of the night.
Did you boo him?
No, I
didn't.
And
started crying.
I was mad. It was, and probably the first time anybody in America outside of this show even heard my name. Like, that moment was, remember, we couldn't believe, we've had a lot of great moments, how viral it went. It was insane that week. I had to do, like, other radio interviews about me crying. I was on, like, the Opie and Anthony show as a result of that.
Were you really?
Yes. Yeah, the producer reached out to me. They wanted to, like, see how big of a loser I was.
I would say in our 10 years together, there were three moments from Mraz that burst louder and brighter than anything else from a viral standpoint. This, the oopsie heard around the world, and then the pirate doorbell cam.
Right.
Mine eyes! Opening day win! Those were the three that got the most traction, and I think it's because people couldn't believe that this would be real, that he would cry over the retirement of a baseball player, that he would soil himself on air while we were doing a radio show, and that when the Giants or the Big Blue won a game opening weekend, he would walk outside of his house and scream to the heavens, mine eyes! Mine eyes! Arr, babies!
I don't remember, Sean, did any of the coverage of Giants-Titans give you the hat trick? Did they link all three stories?
Nobody's ever done it.
Right?
Nobody's been ever
able to... radio producer. Yeah.
Put together the pieces. Nobody's ever done it. And then I also had Tom Brady include me in Up the Gut in his hater video. That was the other one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that wasn't all about you.
100%.
You were one of the haters that Brady right. tapped into.
Still just a ridiculously dumb thing for Tom Brady to include. I mean, it has food recipes in it, the column.
So, no pressure, but I think the station down the hall wants you to go viral pretty quickly to help out that radio show. So,
holy My eyes!
And like, what's the next? What's the next well? What's the next source? You've done crying.
Yep. I've done the sweeping.
You've done bodily function.
Yeah.
And you've done excitement.
Right.
So what's the next theme?
Condescension. He's done with the sweeping. The gentleman's mop.
Yeah, but that didn't take off like those. No. These other three things.
No.
I almost like need oil on my forehead. I need to grow like the biggest zit imaginable. And have it explode onto a microphone with a big sound.
They might be getting past his peak.
Maybe we squeezed Mraz for all the good stuff.
Are they the Raiders? I'm like Warren Sapp heading over there.
Right.
Mraz, open.
Every Raider that signed over the hill, Randy Moss, Justin Tuck, Warren Sapp, all of the bad contracts.
Will you get to week one unlike Antonio Brown?
Oh, good point. I'm going to have foot issues too.
Yeah.
Holy shit, God! Fit.
2 weeks in, I finally get gout.
This is not my microphone. I'm telling you, they're going to send him back by Jan 1.
Yeah, don't cry too much about Mraz leaving.
You're going to be Alec Manoa. They're going to send you back.
Wake him up.
They're going to have to send it down to Tucson and make sure he gets his confidence back.
Meanwhile, Jack's here crushing it. We can't take you back.
Oh, imagine that.
That would be devastating.
I become Shep back from Memphis. Really have to work my way up.
Yeah, you could reopen the pork store at least.
I'm walking 16 dogs, putting together 4 part-time shifts, hoping Hickey quits.
We're like, Mraz, did you run here?
I'm taking classes at NYU, so I have a place to live.
Where are you sleeping now, Mraz? I'm just trying to work my way up, man.
Is Jack really a candidate for the job?
Yes.
Oh, God.
If he wants it. If it's not beneath him.
Obviously, the door is open to everybody within the company.
Kai Horton.
We would not shun anybody. However.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Except women. No women allowed.
No, that's not true.
I know.
However, that person that will replace Mraz has to sit on the other side of the glass from Pete. So Pete is going to be my watchdog in every interview and every meeting. I can't speak for Pete of who he would prefer not be next to him full time. So while the door is open to all potential candidates, Pete does have ultimate call of that guy will never sit next to me every day for the rest of my career. Well, so no.
Ark Manning.
There are two questions, though. And side B will tackle this one. Will this be the most important hire of Pete the Body's management career? Number one. Number two, have you and Pete come up with secret, like baseball-like signals, a certain amount of pen clicks that Pete fires off, you abort the interview, and it's over?
We haven't.
What's wrong with trying to feed people?
I got to tell you, we haven't gone over those signs, but yesterday, Pete, you were in for the local side of things.
Yeah.
And as I was wrapping up, you were talking to Kevin Wall, who did our simulcast yesterday. And I overheard you talking about the person that we've played some clips of here.
Yeah, uncomfortable exchange with him the other night, Sunday night. I was doing the hybrid shift, both national and local, Sunday night. And I got back to the studio, my newsroom there.
Oh, man.
And went to go warm up dinner. And I had some Chinese food with me. Mm. And as I walked by, Jack goes, "What do you have there?" And I said, "Some Chinese food." He goes, "Oh, that's not healthy. I'm going to come to your house and cook for you." And I said, "No, that's okay. I got everything under control. No. I want to come and cook for you.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
January 2nd, 2013, a new sports radio network launched. CBS Sports Radio. In the 10 years since, we've undermined the sterling reputation of CBS Sports on a daily basis. Here's another moment from the decade of DA.
This was one of our first viral moments here on CBS Sports Radio. This was at the September, late September mark after the baseball season of year number two of us on the air. This was still when we were on overnights. We launched in 2013 as we were the overnight show, sandwiched between Pharrell on the bench, which was before us, and Tiki, Tierney, and Dana in the mornings. Then Dana left, and it was just Tiki and Tierney before us in the mornings, and we were doing overnights. And on the overnight show, Mraz, being a big fan of the team that plays in the Bronx, watched his hero retire, that emotional send-off for one Derek Jeter. And as he got more and more emotional, myself and Kenny Brock on the Wheels of Steel kept poking and twisting to get the waterworks going. And it really flooded that night here inside the CBS Sports Radio studios. This is from September 27th, 2014.
Tuesday night, Mraz ended up going to the stadium, Yankee Stadium, to cover the New York Yankee game and see Jeter in the final home game that Mraz will see in person.
And I saw Rivera go. I've seen Callahan go, and I'm going to see Jeter go, too.
And he finally had his final at-bat. Did it hit you?
Oh, it hit me because he came up in the seventh inning and I did the math and I said he may not get another at-bat here. This is it for my life. And it hit me and I got a little upset. He got on base. He got a base hit. The crowd roared. I was pumped up. And as fate would have it, he was able to come back to give us one last at-bat with the game on the line in the ninth inning, and he struck out to end the game. And when that happened, it was it, man. It was like stepping on an ant dying on your shoe. It was over. We laugh about it, and I thought about it all week, and now it's the week we still see in the weeks here, and it's sad. It really is. It's just then Thursday night's going to be even rougher. It's just you're never going to watch him play a game again. You're never going to go to the stadium. You're never going to chant his name. It's sitting on the couch of my dad as a kid. Stop, Kenny. Those are your first memories of staying up late, is watching, you know, Jeter get the big hits and miss the November and, you know, winning the World Series. And it just, they're never going to have that again. That, you know, three champ, you know.
You're breaking up in there.
When you just reminisce and you think about all the glory years, it's just, it's over. It's all over.
When
Mo went, that's it. Jeter gone. When I sat in the car and I had the Yankees postgame on and I kind of reflected and thought about every at-bat, I really flashed back and thought about the last 15 years of my life, and something that's there is not going to be there anymore. And I have two pieces of my head going. One wants to laugh at my idiot self, and the other just can't help it. It's a legend. You don't see legends come around in your lifetime often, and we have one here in New York, and he's not coming back.
He's not dead.
No, he'll be there, but his career's dead.
Mraz, any final words?
We love you, Derek. Go get him the last week.
I can't take this anymore. I've held it in for as long as I could. The tears tears on this down this guy's face are so big.
It's
oh
streaming.
My God.
Oh. He's weeping. He's openly weeping. Describe this scene that's next to you.
Mraz has both hands now in his face. He's hunched over. The Buddha belly is hidden. The tears are just free flowing down. The snot bubbles are coming out of his nose. It's quite a scene, DA. I can't grasp what's happening right now. Just saw his face. He just turned to me and his
his face is all red, and it's covered up by his big ham hock hands, and he's absolutely pouring, and we knew this was going to happen. Oh, man. It was perfect to have Kenny Brock in here. The heartless, soulless, cutthroat Philly fan mocking Mraz from 3 feet away. And it was all a setup. We knew that Mraz had gone to the stadium to go see Jeter in his final chance to see Jeter in person. That was not the final game of the season. But we knew it, and we knew that Mraz was kind of getting emotional and nostalgic about it. So I told Brock, I go, hey, have Sinatra ready, okay? He goes, okay, I got it. I go, I'm going to ask Mraz about this game, and let's just keep poking him until he breaks. Brock goes, I got it. So as you heard in that clip, as Mraz gets more emotional, Brock rides the volume up of Sinatra. I did it my way. And Mraz is starting to get more and more emotional, more and more wistful. And at one point, we edited that together to condense it. But there's a lot of dead air because Mraz has put his head in his two hands, rested his elbows on the desk in front of his computer, and just started sobbing into his hands as, I did it my way, started blaring. And Kenny and I were holding back the laughs to get Mraz to keep going. And then finally we're like, forget it. Let's just start laughing at this guy. And this is before we were on the simulcast. There was no video of this. So we went to commercial break quickly, maybe to a Schwartz update or something. And I ran into the control room to take a photo of Mraz. And this clip went viral. This story went viral because we sent out the audio of him crying. And then there's a picture. I'm like, Mraz, look up. And Mraz has one hand covering one eye and red pink face, eyes filled with tears, looks at me like a dog in a shelter. And I snapped the photo and we attached that to the story and sent that out and put that in the clip. And that got picked up everywhere. Got picked up by local newspapers, local websites, but then Sports Illustrated's website picked it up. Awful. Barstool picked it up.
Barstool awful announcing. CBSSports.com had it.
Producer cries over Derek Jeter's retirement. This was the day before Jeter's final game. This was, as I said, the 27th of September 2014. And the 28th was his final game of the stadium. And that was the one against the Orioles where tie ball game, bottom nine, runners on first and second, and Jeter strokes the opposite field single, game-winning walk-off RBI. That was his final moment as a player, but Mraz went to the game where he struck out his last at-bat of the night.
Did you boo him?
No, I didn't. And then started crying.
I was mad. And probably the first time anybody in America outside of this show even heard my name. Like, that moment was, remember, we couldn't believe. We've had a lot of great moments, how viral it went. It was insane that week. I had to do, like, other radio interviews about me crying. I was on, like, the Opie and Anthony show as a result of that.
Were you really?
Yes. Yeah, the producer reached out to me. They wanted to, like, see how big of a loser I was.
I would say in our 10 years together, there were three moments from Mraz that burst louder and brighter than anything else. From a viral standpoint, this, the oopsie heard around the world, and then the pirate doorbell cam.
Right.
Mine eyes! Opening day win! Those were the three that got the most traction, and I think it's because people couldn't believe that this would be real, that he would cry over the retirement of a baseball player, that he would soil himself on air while we were doing a radio show, and that when the Giants or the Big Blue
won a game opening weekend, he would walk outside of his house and scream to the heavens, "Mine eyes! Mine eyes! Arbides!"
I don't remember, Sean, did any of the coverage of Giants-Titans give you the hat trick? Did they link all three stories?
Nobody's ever done it.
Right?
Nobody's been ever
able to. He was just radio producer. Yeah.
Put together the pieces. Nobody's ever done it. And then I also had Tom Brady include me in Up the Gut in his hater video. That was the other one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that wasn't all about you.
100%.
You were one of the haters that Brady right. tapped into.
Still just a ridiculously dumb thing for Tom Brady to include. I mean, it has food recipes in it, the column.
So, no pressure, but I think the station down the hall wants you to go viral pretty quickly to help out that radio show. So,
holy My eyes!
And like, what's the next? What's the next well? What's the next source? You've done crying.
Yep. I've done the sweeping.
You've done bodily function.
Yep.
And you've done excitement.
Right.
So what's the next theme?
Condescension. He's done with the sweeping. The gentleman's mop.
Yeah, but that didn't take off like those. No. These other three things.
No.
I almost like need oil on my forehead. I need to grow like the biggest zit imaginable. And have it explode onto a microphone with a big sound.
They might be getting past his peak.
Maybe we squeezed Mraz for all the good stuff.
Are they the Raiders? I'm like Warren Sapp heading over there.
That's right.
Finally, little open.
Every Raider that signed over the hill, Randy Moss, Justin Tuck, Warren Sapp, all of the bad contracts.
Will you get to week one unlike Antonio Brown?
Oh, good point. I'm going to have foot issues too.
Yeah.
Holy Shale God! Doesn't fit.
2 weeks in, I finally get gout.
This is not my microphone. I'm telling you, they're going to send him back by January 1.
Yeah, don't cry too much about Mraz leaving.
You're going to be Alec Manoa. They're going to send you back.
Wake him up.
They're going to have to send it down to Tucson and make sure he gets his confidence back.
Meanwhile, Jack's here crushing it. We can't take you back.
Oh, imagine that.
That would be devastating.
I become Shep back from Memphis, really have to work my way up.
Yeah, you could reopen the pork store at least.
I'm walking 16 dogs, putting together 4 part-time shifts, hoping Hickey quits.
We're like, Mraz, did you run here?
I'm taking classes at NYU, so I have a place to live.
Where are you sleeping now, Mraz? I'm just trying to work my way up, man.
Is Jack really a candidate for the job?
Yes.
Oh, God.
If he wants it. If it's not beneath him.
Obviously, the door is open to everybody within the company.
Kai Horton.
We would not shun anybody. However.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Except women. No women allowed.
No, that's not true.
I know.
However, that person that will replace Mraz has to sit on the other side of the glass from Pete. So Pete is going to be my watchdog in every interview and every meeting. I can't speak for Pete of who he would prefer not be next to him full time. So while the door is open to all potential candidates, Pete does have ultimate call of that guy will never sit next to me every day for the rest of my career. So no.
Ark Manning.
And there are two questions, though. And side B will tackle this one. Will this be the most important hire of Pete the Body's management career? Number one. Number two, have you and Pete come up with secret, like baseball-like signals, a certain amount of pen clicks that Pete fires off, you abort the interview, and it's over?
We haven't.
What's wrong with trying to feed people?
I got to tell you, we haven't gone over those signs, but yesterday, Pete, you were in for the local side of things.
Yeah.
And as I was wrapping up, you were talking to Kevin Wall, who did our simulcast yesterday. And I overheard you talking about the person that we've played some clips of here.
Yeah, uncomfortable exchange with him the other night, Sunday night. I was doing the hybrid shift, both national and local, Sunday night. And I got back to the studio, my newsroom there.
Oh, man.
And went to go warm up dinner. And I had some Chinese food with me. Mm. And as I walked by, Jack goes, "What do you have there?" And I said, "Some Chinese food." He goes, "Oh, that's not healthy. I'm going to come to your house and cook for you." And I said, "No, that's okay. I got everything under control. No. I want to come and cook for you and your family. I said, no, it's okay. My wife's good. I want to teach your wife how to cook.
Oh.
And I said, Jack, that's just not going to happen. You're not coming anywhere near my house. And he continues to berate me all night about wanting to go to a game with me, come see a Long Island Ducks game. I'm like, you've got to stop this. This is not. Then he starts getting into pay. Like, what do you get paid for a shift? Mm. What do you think they get paid for a shift down the hall? It became a whole financial conversation. I said, Jack, I'm in the middle of getting ready for the next update. I can't have this conversation with you. So I'm just curious. I'm trying to learn. So what do you make for a shift?
Why didn't he ask the boss?
So why can't he go to the appropriate people?
Correct.
And then this conversation probably total lasted like 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Wow.
So finally I lost it on him. And I said, Jack, the last 20 minutes are 20 minutes of my life I will never get back. And he looked at me with this like dead stare. I know my social skills aren't very good, but I will take that as a cue to walk away from you right now.
And you don't get mad at anybody.
I don't get mad at
the fact that he knew that you had snapped on him.
Yeah.
Was finally the awakening that maybe he needed. Shut up.
It's enough.
Go away.
You're not getting anywhere near my children or my wife.
He did this to Mraz the other day, asking him about how much he gets paid. What coworker asks that? Go ask the boss what shift rates are.
Yeah.
It's so tacky and weird and rude, and it's bizarre behavior.
And do you get paid more here than you do at your other gigs?
Who asks these questions?
And then he goes, how do you balance everything? Like, how do you work here and work the baseball and cover the hot? Like,
that's fair.
And do they pay you the same that you get paid here? And I'm like, leave me alone.
What's going on?
The fact that Jack didn't walk away going, these 20 minutes are ones I won't get back after talking to Schwartz is amazing.
You're a beast. You're a tank.
So as I said, the door for Mraz's job is open to everybody. However,
I think he just got hired. Again, however, you guys keep telling all these stories. I'm the one pushing it here, and I haven't heard a reason not to bring him in.
I won't fill in anymore he's producing the show.
You won't fill in. I know that Pete probably will never work on the show again. I think we'll have a lot of people that just refuse to work around here.
No, the best way to view this is the Texans begin training camp with a chance to win the Super Bowl. Will they? I mean, it's the best way I could compare certain people to interviewing for this job.
So we're the Texans now.
No, he's the Texans.
That's a good analogy. I like that one.
You were Bill O'Brien.
Everybody starts 0-0 in the season. Yes.
But we know the reality.
Exactly. Somebody's the Chiefs, okay?
He's unbelievable. He is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Who badgers somebody, I'm going to go teach your wife how to cook?
Terrible.
Who badgers somebody and says, I'm going to teach your wife how to cook?
That being said, that's a great reality show for 3 weeks. Jack lives there and cooks for the Schwartzes.
You know,
I will call the police.
Jack Cam.
It shows the restraint on Peter, because if anyone else was asked that question, they would have knocked Jack out.
It's a rude question.
All of those questions
are rude.
It's a very rude question. Says that about your wife? I mean, that's ridiculous. That's rude. That's very rude. You should apologize.
It's very rude.
You don't want to hear Pete scold and try to bring Jack up through the world? Come on.
There would be an implosion here if that happened.
It really would.
You can't put anybody on this floor in that position. Because you have to remember, too, if there's an implosion here, the ripple effect will be felt down the hall.
That's right.
Upstairs, right. The other outlets that are owned by this company.
Let's go, Jets.
And let's be honest. You guys can talk a big game. Nobody's quitting over Jack, okay? Everyone's going to still show up and take their paychecks and deal with whoever they have to deal with.
You start sending out resumes, though. You start looking at other places. You start transitioning to Subways.
Bogues became like a Jack teacher, so to speak, and he tried to distance himself for that, but now I'm getting the sense Bogus is back in on wanting his guy that he mentored rising to prominence.
You can call me whatever you would like.
I'm looking out for DA Show 2.0, and there's only a handful of names right now in-house that can create the content that Jack could. It's a very short list.
I am so disappointed in you. I really...
That's fine. I'll accept that.
I've known you for a very long time.
You have.
We've worked together at several places.
And I don't think you need to change your diet.
I consider you a close friend.
Thank you.
But I am disappointed in you now.
I can't be perfect, Peter.
Bogues isn't wrong. There is a lot of content
I'm scratching Fordham off of Bradley's list.
To mine from him. But it would cause such disdain around here. We all like coming to work, generally speaking, around here. If we knew he was here, what chunk of joy is sucked out of every day showing up?
A lot of rundown emails would start with, I'm working from home, Brewers Royals tonight.
Staying up for Ohtani at-bats.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
All right, so what dessert trend do you prefer? Big cookies or frozen yogurt? 71% of you say big cookies. Now, data tells us that June is National Frozen Yogurt Month in the U.S. Froyo contains bacteria that's good for you. This bacteria can lower your cholesterol and boost your immune system. Americans consume over 200 billion cookies per year. The actual cookies used for the Cookie Monster on Sesame Street are painted rice cakes. The first Crumble cookie opened in Logan, Utah in 2017. Now Crumble sells flavors like mango frozen yogurt and Kentucky butter cake. And it is a national brand. Heard from a lot of the aliens today that they've got Crumble cookie places in their hometown. So this is all across the country. Mraz's favorite cookie is the standard Oreo. You'll be happy to know that for the birthday this year, the Bourbon Bell purchased me an Oreo ice cream cake.
Hummina, hummina, hummina.
Delicious. White vanilla ice cream, crumbles of Oreo in the cake, and then the bottom is all Oreo cookie.
Oh, God.
It's delicious.
Oh, God.
What did we do for the fail today here?
Are we sure down the hole once all my gimmicks?
Okay, here's the fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I think what the Yankees need of the deadlines is another arm. And have I told you about the summer of 92? The incident in question, and there's Tiki, his jaw agape. What are we doing here? And Donna, this kills down the hall.
When we come back, more of your trashes, and we'll do something else. It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hello.
Hello. Is this on?
You should have heard Pete when I said the storms are brewing.
This was huge in Alabama.
And they saw their impending doom. And Pete had to turn off his microphone. This kills down the hallway.
Is Table Rock a strip club?
Why are we taking a break?
No. Keep stretching. Now I got more stuff.
Did I tell you about the Grammys?
The Grammys. 94 Grammys.
I got a whole list here.
Cheryl Crow. Salt water, fresh water, lakes. Come on, I'm dying up here.
Let me eat something.
I'll eat whatever you got. What do you got?
Hi, hello. I'm in the room. We're hanging out. I'm in your basement.
Bones, no bones.
I'm going to put two chicken nuggets in a headband. Watch this.
Quick, somebody make me laugh. There's something down here. I'll cough it up.
Is it friction up and then down? What do I do?
Oh, I forgot. How's this go? I forgot. Is the friction down? The laugh goes up.
Kirk Cousins is the ultimate egg layer. He might as well be nicknamed the Rooster.
24 or 48 in the crepe case.
Check my underwear quickly.
Give me a math problem. I don't know the answer. Come on.
It's me, the spell ruler. Come on.
Have I told you I never took the SATs? Huh? I'm telling you, this kills.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Comeback Kid tweets, I'm sorry, guys. The only choice to take Mraz's job is Pat Boyle. I stand firm on this every day. Hashtag people want Boyle. Well, interviews will start after the 4th of July. We'll collect some names and start doing interviews. But also, if you're interested in this job, this is a public posting. And so you can reach out to the DA show. And we might set up an interview for on air. And we will see what you got during the show. What do you think? Yeti Confetti says that Jack asking other employees about their pay is federally protected. Okay, Yeti Confetti, but then you have a conversation with him. Nobody around here wants to have that. Thanks to Sean Mraz, Pete the Body Bilotti, Andrew Bogish, Peter Schwartz, and Andrew Kaplan. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.